Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
In lieu of today's Let's Face the Issues program, Dr. Youngblood would like to share a message from his pulpit of First Conservative Baptist Church this Thanksgiving.
But only one of them paused and looked down at himself and realized and recognized exactly what had taken place in his life. He realized that he was healed. Only one out of the 10. By the way, I have been involved in a study for years about the tithe, the tenth. You study the book of Isaiah in the 6th chapter, and he said, Jeremiah, send me. And God sent him, and he said, Lord, who's going to listen? God said, a remnant, a tenth, a tithe. Look at the book of Nehemiah, when they finished building the wall around Jerusalem. They started then analyzing the pedigree, if you please, of all of those that were there. And only those that were allowed to go in had the pedigree, the passports, the credentials, the visas. And only 10% of them were allowed to go in. I believe when we get to heaven, I believe when God's universe is wrapped up, I believe when all is said and done, I believe all of those across the globe, around the world, in any church, regardless of the denomination, a tithe, a tenth of God's people, a tenth of human beings will be in heaven. If you don't believe that, study the 21st chapter of the book of the Revelation. God gives the absolute dimensions of that city four square, and the dimensions that he gives there, all of those in the world that say they're saved today will not fit in that place called heaven. You could pack them like sardines, if you will, and they still wouldn't fit in that place called heaven. There are a whole lot of folks today, and maybe you're listening today, maybe you're one of them. A whole lot of people today that are good people, good husband, good wife, good mother, good father, good son, good daughter. Perhaps you're a member of a church that you think is a good church, good denomination, etc., etc. There are a lot of good people that are going to die and go to hell. There are a lot of good people today that think that they're saved because they don't cuss the dog, kick the cat, and beat the wife. And as a result of that, somehow, some way, I'm going to heaven. Somehow, some way, there's a mindset, I've been baptized, I'm going to heaven. I'm a member of the church, I'm going to heaven. I'm a good Baptist, I'm going to heaven. I've got news for you. There are a lot of folks that are going to die and go to a devil's hell. Doesn't matter what denomination you are. Doesn't make any difference how much good works you do. First and foremost thing, have you said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord? Here's this one man, one out of the 10. Here's this one man. They were all cleansed. They were all healed. And just one recognized the blessing. Only one recognized what had taken place. We become so accustomed, I believe, today to God's blessings and benefits that we seem to just expect them. Notice not only his recognition, but notice his response. Latter portion of verse 15 and verse 16, he turned back and with a loud voice, that's the scream, that's the shout, glorified God and fell on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. He was a rejected one of society. What if you say, and he was an American? A lot of folks in America today, they do not pause and ponder what God has done for us and say thank you. Just one tenth, a tithe, took time to say thank you, Jesus. Thank you for healing me. Thank you for meeting the need. Thank you for the blessings in my life that you have provided for me. Some time ago, a number of years ago now. I've kept this note for quite a few years. It was during an invitation time following a service, Thanksgiving service. A lady came forward and she said, and I quote, "Pastor, people always come to you with their problems, their burdens, and their prayer requests. I just felt that I needed to come and pray for you, for all that you mean to us, to our church, and to say thank you, thank you, thank you for being our pastor." So many times we fail to recognize what God has given us in our nation today. This one man, his response, he turned back and with a loud voice, just as he had shouted, "Have mercy on us, have mercy, have mercy on us." This same one man shouted with that same loud voice, saying, "Thank you, thank you, thank you for what you've done for me." Again, a statement from Howard Hendricks. I've enjoyed reading behind him for many years gone by in different facets and fields of study. Howard Hendricks told the story of a lady in Dallas who had lost her husband and four sons in a serious automobile wreck. She did not know, but someone sent her a letter. She did not know the person. Sent her a letter encouraging her, said, "I have four sons. I understand your hurt. I understand your loss." Sometimes later, this lady looked up the one that sent the note, went to the home, rang the doorbell, introduced herself and said, "Thank you, thank you, thank you for your letter of encouragement at the time I needed it so very, very much." Notice two things about this man's response. First of all, we see his genuine thoughtfulness, and secondly, we see his genuine thankfulness. Genuine thoughtfulness. He turned back. He turned back. He went out of his way. All of the others had started scattering, going the different direction. This one man that had the same cleansing that the other nine had received, all 10 of them had received the same mercy and grace and blessing, compassion from Jesus. He was thoughtful enough to go back and say, "Thank you, thank you, thank you," to Jesus. That's an old song that says, "Count your many blessings." Let me read you a few of the words from that. "When upon life's billows your tempest tossed, when all discouraged and thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your blessings, see what God hath done." It's a wonderful song. It should remind us for the need to count our blessings. You say, "But I've got this problem, count your blessings. I've got that problem, count your blessings." We can name our problems one by one, but God says, "Count your blessings." It's not focusing on the problems or the issues or the difficulties, but focus on the blessings from the hand of God that He has blessed us so mightily and so abundantly with in America today. He turned back, the scripture says. Not only do we see his genuine thoughtfulness, but his genuine thankfulness. And with a loud voice, with a shout, with a scream, he glorified the Lord Jesus Christ. That means he paid homage and honor and recognition. He didn't mind the whole world knowing that he is now that one that Jesus Christ has so blessed. He didn't mind if the whole world saw him saying, thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for what you've done." He fell at Jesus' feet, notice, and fell down on his face. That's humility. That's humility. Even as Christians today, there's a sense of, in the attitude, a sense of arrogance, ingratitude, a lack of thankfulness. Many Christians today look at it as being weak if you bow your head in the public restaurant and thank the Lord for the food. Many will look at it with a gift that is given and look at it on the basis, "Well, this is not what I wanted. This is not the brand I like. This is not the color that I would have bought for myself." Unthankfulness, a lack of gratitude, a nation of ingratitude. This one openly, publicly, says, thank you, thank you, thank you, and falls at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, indicating humility, indicating worship. And I believe this is another proof text that there is one-tenth a tithe of those that are in the world today that will be in that place called glory, that place called heaven. Real salvation is seen in genuine thankfulness. If you're saved, if you've said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, we ought to be thankful, eternally grateful that we're saved, that we've been bought by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that our sins have been remitted, and that we're saved, saved, saved. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Some ought to pick and choose. Lord, I'm thankful for this because it's special. We need to be thankful if a heartbeat, every breath, every opportunity we have. I waken of a morning, I say, thank you, Lord, for waking me up. Thank you, Lord, for the heartbeat. Thank you, Lord, for the breath. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of serving you today. Thank you, Lord, for what you have before us. Thank you, Lord, for the wisdom that you give, that we might live and serve you and submit and surrender fresh and anew under your lordship each day. But I want you to notice not only the thankful celebration, but notice the telling challenge. The telling challenge. Now, this is the key that unlocks this text. The telling challenge, verse 17 and 18. Notice the scripture says, and Jesus answered and said, where were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They're not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. Jesus challenges. Jesus says to the one, didn't I heal 10 people? You were with 9 other men. Where are the 9? Where are those that I have healed? These 10 men that were dying, these 10 men that were all screaming, these 10 men that were all pleading, these 10 men that were seeking to be healed from the Lord Jesus Christ, but only one returned. I made a little note, perhaps these other 9 were so rejoicing with their blessing that they forgot to say thank you to the blesser of the blessing. Perhaps they were so busy carrying out the work because they had health to work that they forgot Jesus. Perhaps they were so busy going and telling their friends and their relatives and neighbors, look at me, look at me, look at me, that they failed to say thank you, thank you, thank you to Jesus Christ and give him the glory. Multitudes today are so busy because you have health to work, so busy because you have intellectual ability to carry out the task, so busy with the credentials and the background, the training and ability that God's given you. You spend that investing your life in your work, in your profession, in your going, in your coming, rather than taking time to say, thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you for the wisdom. Thank you for the health. Thank you for the strength. Thank you for the opportunity that you've given me to serve you, to honor you in my life today. They were not concerned. They were unthankful, ungrateful, unthoughtful. They received God's grace and mercy, but they were not thankful for it. Too much time and too much event, too many events take place today that get crowded in our lives and we fail to recognize what's happening. I believe this picture, this 9 are the picture of those today that are not grateful for health and strength and for home and for church and for family and for freedom and what we have. We are as a nation today, listen very carefully. Let me just do a little parenthetical footnote to that statement. I believe in America today, we're unthankful for a nation that our founding fathers surrendered and gave their all that we might have the freedom and the liberty in our nation today. We're training up ignoramuses in our colleges and universities, if I may be bold enough to use that term. They're being brainwashed today and not taught true American history. As a result of that, they're begging for the socialist Marxist agenda to pervade and to prevail in America today. We're not thankful for what God has done for us as a nation. We're not thankful for the health and the strength that he gives us, that we can worship him and come to a church in freedom and liberty and praise him and thank him. But this thankful celebration for this one, and I say let us all be thankful as he was. One final note. Not only we see the thankful celebration and the telling challenge, but I want you to notice the total cure. The total cure. And notice my emphasis on the word total. The total cure. And he, that's Jesus, said unto him, arise and go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Listen carefully. This one man, this one Samaritan, this one that was rejected by society for the most part, this one that was a stranger, this one that was a foreigner, Jesus said unto him, arise, get up from where you are. He was on his knees, on his face, at the feet of Jesus, praising him and thanking him and worshiping him in humility and submission and surrender because of what Christ had done in his life. And Jesus said, son, get up. Arise. Arise. Go thy way. Thy faith had made thee whole. The faith had made him whole. The nine others received physical. Listen, you should do the word study here, and it's a wonderful, wonderful thought and scene that we see here. All 10 of them were physically cleansed. All 10 of them were physically healed. All 10 of them had the same physical blessing. The nine received that same physical health and physical blessing as associated with happiness, but only one, a tenth, a total cure. He is totally cured. He is cleansed both spiritually and physically. Jesus says, thy faith, pistuo, your faith, you believed what I could do. You believed in me, and you have come back to worship me and to surrender in humility. He said, you're healed physically. You're healed spiritually. Your faith hath made you whole. A lot of folks today that walk around with physical health, but are spiritually dead without Christ. The only way we have real life is to have that life in Jesus Christ. The only way that there can be full joy and blessing in our lives is to realize that Jesus Christ died on the cross. We have volitionally said yes to him as Savior and as Lord. It's an old cliche, but it paints the picture very well. If you're born twice, you'll die only once. If you're born once, you'll die twice. Ephesians 2, 1 and 2 says we're walking dead men until we say yes to Jesus Christ. This man was a walking dead man, but he came back. He had thoughtfulness enough to say, thank you, Jesus. He fell on his feet and worshiped Jesus out of humility, indicating a surrendered life, a surrendered heart to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. May I remind us today, leprosy is just a sin. It will destroy one's life. But there's a lack of gratitude, the rarity of gratitude today. May I suggest that we just take a little nugget from this message today and make a conscious, deliberate decision that, Lord, regardless of what happens tomorrow, rain or shine, health or no health, job or no job, cohesiveness in family and friends and relatives or not, I'm still going to praise you and thank you and thank you and thank you for life, liberty, and the privilege of living in this old world today. There's a need for us to say thank you, Lord, every day and indicate that thankfulness by our submission and surrender unto his Lordship. Perhaps you're here today and you say, Pastor, I've never been saved. I'm not sure of my eternal salvation. Listen very carefully. You can seal it and settle it once and for all. Salvation, God thought it. Salvation, the Holy Spirit wrought it. Salvation, Jesus Christ bought it. It's a free gift, already bought and paid for. All we need to do is receive it by faith. A gift is not a gift until received. So if you've never personally, volitionally said, Lord Jesus Christ, forgive me of my sins, come into my heart and save me. You may be living a good life, you may be a good member of a church or denomination, but you're lost. It's a volitional decision. We're not saved by osmosis. We're not saved by doing good works. We're not saved by being a Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, or any other denomination. We're saved by saying yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. And let me tell you this. A saved person has no problem. If you're truly saved, we have no problem saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you for waking me up. Thank you for the pain and the problems, the aches and the difficulties. I know you have a plan for my life. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. Would you stay?
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m., for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen. Great news! Conservative Theological University will offer the 2020 semester online, on campus, and personalized distant modules, or you may take their courses by all three methods. CTU will offer a partial scholarship for every new enrolling student for the online courses. That's right. For the fall 2020 semester, you can take advantage of receiving your biblical theological studies right in your own home via your computer. As a new CTU student, you will have the opportunity to not only do online studies, but you may also enroll in on-campus courses, too. CTU will accept all of your transcripted courses from other qualified institutions. Call today, 1-800-GO-BIBLE, for your admissions interview appointment. Please leave your contact information for the admissions personnel to call you back to schedule your interview appointment. CTU will also honor the scholarship for the spring 2021 semester. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE today. Since 1982, Conservative Theological University has provided conservative biblical training for hundreds of pastors, evangelists, missionaries, Christian educators, Christian counselors, and many other ministry professionals. CTU is certified by the Council of Private Colleges of America and is not government controlled. CTU does not accept any state or federal funding and is unapologetically conservative in theology and biblical doctrines. Call now, 1-800-GO-BIBLE, for your enrollment interview. The CTU campus is located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road in Jacksonville. Remember, CTU will accept transfer of qualified earned credits toward your CTU degree. Ask about the new Bachelor and Master of Ministry degree programs. Conservative Theological University, online at conservative.edu.
Remember that wonderful feeling when the Savior called long ago. His gentle hands were knocking on the doorway to my soul. I wasn't prepared, oh, but I declare how he gave me a brand new start. From my roof to my floor, he gave oh so much more when he knocked on the door of my heart.
When he knocked on the door of my heart, knocking and he finally got through.
What a great event,
it was heaven sent, for it came down for me and you. Now I'm walking this road with a brand new step, for his love he did impart. What a joy to me, for he set me free when he knocked on the door of my heart.
Many years later, I knelt at an altar and I cried out with bitter tears. I'd failed my Lord so badly and spent many, many wasted years.
But just like before he tapped on the door, he restored me and set me apart. For his mercy and grace were all over that place when he knocked on the door of my heart.
When he knocked on the door of my heart, knocking and he finally got through.
What a great event,
it was heaven sent, for he came down for me and you. Now I'm walking this road with a brand new step, for his love he did impart. What a joy to me, for he set me free when he knocked on the door of my heart. When he knocked on the door of my heart, knocking and he finally got through.
What a great event,
it was heaven sent, for he came down for me and you. Walking this road with a brand new step, for his love he did impart. What a joy to be, for he set me free when he knocked on the door of my heart.
Yeah, what a
joy to me, for he set me free
when he knocked on the door of my heart.
When he knocked
on the door of my heart.
Knock, knock it on the door of my heart.
When he knocked,
knock, knock it on the door of my heart.
When he
knocked on the door of my
sound that saves.